This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Open your Bible with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to be reading from a couple of places right there in 2 Kings, and the title of the message this morning is God is Moving Behind the Scenes. God is moving. Someone say, God is moving behind the scenes. And remember, Brother Hagin taught us this. If you want the Word of God to work for you, I don't know about you, I want the Word working for me. Amen. But if you want the Word of God to work for you, you got to get excited about the Word of God. And so be on the edge of your seat, man. Be ready to say amen, agree, get in faith, have the switch of faith turned on. Because God is going to do great things this morning. You know, the Bible says that God watches over His Word to perform it. So that means when God is giving the Word out on Sunday morning, He's not just giving it out to for you to hear something and go, that was nice. He's giving His Word out so He can perform it in your life. Amen? And if you'll mix faith with it, if you'll get in faith this morning, get excited about it this morning, receive it, I believe even before we leave, God is going to do great things. If you believe that, somebody say amen. All right, so God is moving behind the scenes, and let's pray. Father, I ask you to use me, God. I ask you to speak through me. I pray that I would disappear and that you would manifest in a great way this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for moving up and down every aisle, in and out of every row, save and heal and deliver. God, I thank you that your anointing still destroys every yoke and removes every burden. Father, I announce publicly I can do nothing without you. That we are helpless without you, but with you and through you, I declare the captive will be set free this morning. Hallelujah. I declare sick bodies will be healed this morning in Jesus' name. God, I declare that problems will be fixed and that there's solutions to problems because Jesus, you are still the answer for everything that we face. God, we worship you and we love you. Come on, celebration. We set our affection on you this morning. We set our focus on you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that it is you that we look to. Our expectation is from you that you're the healer, you're the deliverer, you're the savior. God, we can't do this on our own. So we're asking that you would come in right now and begin to bless, begin to minister and do what no man can do in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so then, you know this as well as I do, that in the life of a Christian, when we begin believing God for anything, when you begin believing God for finances, how many of you believe in God to bless your finances and increase your finances, right? You tithe and you give and you begin to believe God that he is your provider, that he's going to bless you. When you begin to believe God for physical healing in your body or mental healing, maybe restoration in your marriage, you need God to help work on your marriage. And I think we can always be getting better. So I think that's all of us, that we always want to be getting better in our treatment towards our husband or wife. And peace in our minds, fulfillment in our lives. When you're believing God for these things, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So what that means, church, is that we're not always going to see the things change immediately. We're not always going to see the things we're believing change immediately. Many times there's no physical evidence to prove that what we are praying for or believing for is coming to pass. But the Lord wanted me to encourage you this morning and let you know that if you are believing, even though you can't see it or feel it or perceive it with your natural senses, God is moving behind the scenes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just because I can't see it doesn't mean I don't have evidence. My, my, my. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean I don't have evidence. You know, that word right there, evidence, means title deed. We'll let that sink in. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? Not just hoping like I wish it happens, but hope is a confident expectation in God. Are you confidently expecting that life is getting better? Are you confidently expecting that greater anointing is coming upon your life? Are you confidently expecting that Jesus is going to use you to influence your family? Are you confidently expecting your family to be saved? Are you confidently expecting your kids to stop acting like devils? No, I'm just kidding. But whatever, are you confidently expecting finances to get better? God to bless you, but whatever it is, the Bible says now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the evidence. That word evidence is title deed. Oh, man. So when I'm believing God for healing, faith says I have the title deed to it. When you sell a car, you get the title deed. Excuse me, when you buy a car, you get the title deed. And that title proves that car belongs to you. Come on, somebody. So if someone stole your car and it was recovered somewhere else, you just show up to the police station with the title deed, and they have to give that car back to you. So when the devil says you're not going to get your healing, you're not going to get your breakthrough, you're not going to see your family come to see the Lord, say, shut up, devil, I already have the title deed. And just because I can't see it on the outside doesn't mean it's not already real on the inside. I got the title deed, and you're going to see what I'm seeing on the inside show up on the outside. Am I talking to anybody who said, listen, I went for 6 months and didn't see it. I went for a year and didn't see it. But I kept on believing, and eventually what I had on the inside showed up on the outside. I'm free today. I'm healed today. I'm whole today. I got the blessing and I'm driving it today. Come on, somebody. Woo! Because God is moving many times behind the scenes. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Here we go. Therefore, now I just want to explain this to you. The king of Syria, which is an enemy army to the people of God. Right here, we're going to pick up the story. The king of Syria, which is an enemy army to God's people, Israel, is trying to attack Israel, trying to attack God's people. And every time they try to go attack God's people, God would tell Elisha, the man of God, where the enemy's army was going to be. And so he would say, don't go to this place because that's where the enemy is going to be. And finally, the enemy army king, the king of Syria, goes, who is the leak in my army? Who is the leak? Who's telling Israel where we're going to attack them? And they said, King nobody, but God tells Elisha the words you speak in your bedroom. Woo! So after this, he said, well, then where's Elisha? If I can't defeat the army, at least tell me where Elisha is. I'm going to go confront him. Going to go confront the man of God. And that's where we pick up the story right here. It doesn't seem really wise. I mean, God's keeping me out of, I can't even find this army that I'm trying to kill. So let me go try to get the man of God who's telling the army where not to be so I can't kill them. It seems dumb to me. Stay away from him. Touch not mine anointing. Do my prophets no harm. But anyway, here we go. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city where Elisha was. And when the servant of Elisha woke up the next morning and went out, there was a great army surrounding the city and horses and chariots and servants. And his servant said to him, alas, Elisha, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha answered, do not fear. Come on, somebody. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And Elisha prayed, and the Lord smote the Syrian army with blindness. And so this is amazing to me, and it shows us this, that the prophet said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And this is what he said, open the servant's eyes. Lord, change his perspective. Change his perspective because he's in a difficult situation. Though you are facing adversity, though the enemy has come against you, it might seem like he's coming against you on every side, and it seems to be overwhelming. You need to be reminded that those who are with you are more than those who are against you. And God is moving behind the scenes. In other words, he had to have his eyes open. Wait a minute. Though there's an army encamped against me, though depressions come against me, though sicknesses come against me, though my life is being messed with and financially I'm in a mess, and my family, what's going on? It just seems like every hand we get by one thing and then another thing happens. Come on, somebody. And we get over one thing and then another thing happens. It just seems like there's enemies coming. And God says, wait, you got to open your eyes. I got to open your eyes, celebration. Hallelujah. Just because it looks like you're being overwhelmed, just because it looks like you are losing, do not be discouraged, because your God is moving behind the scenes. I'm going to need just a few people in a little while to go ahead and testify that I'm a witness that, listen, I know what it's like to feel like you're losing. I know what it's like, come on, to feel like you're outnumbered. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not approach me. Is there a witness in here that can say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? But he came through. He came through. I feel the Lord saying, no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper, and every tongue that raises against you, you shall condemn. Because just because it looks like you're outnumbered, hear me and hear me well. If the God be for me, who in the world can be against me? Because your God is still moving behind the scenes. I want to tell you, God does his best work in dark places. God is moving behind the scenes, and the devil will attack you and saying, it's not changing, it's not happening. Why don't you just give up? And I'm telling you, he's a liar. God is moving behind the scenes. Whoo, my. Now, check this out. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 8. Let's read it together. Now, there were four leprous men at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. But if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. And if they let us live, we live. And if they kill us, then we die. And they rose. Someone say they rose. At twilight and to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, nobody was there. For the Lord. Someone say, for the Lord. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight. Isn't that amazing? They fled the same time these four men got up and started walking. That's some stuff right there. They started fleeing the moment these four lepers chose to stand up and start walking. That's why the devil wants you to stay down. He wants you to stay down under fear. Stay down under that thing. Stay down under that oppression, that addiction. He wants you to stay down. But I'm telling you, God is encouraging us this morning. It's time to get up and walk again. Hallelujah. Notice what it says. And when the lepers, verse 7, therefore they arose and fled at twilight, and they left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when the lepers came into the outskirts of the camp, they went into one of the tents, and they started eating and drinking and carried away silver, gold, and clothing. Is anybody reading the same Bible that I'm reading here? They got to the enemy's camp and was like, we're about to turn up. About to turn up in this piece. They started eating. They started drinking. They were partying. And here is the good news. Here is the good news about this. When I was reading this, what you must understand is that this was not an easy walk to get from the city gates to the enemy's army. This was not an easy walk, especially for those who had leprosy. Leprosy was an incurable disease. It was terminal, and it could kill you. It would eat off your toes and eat off your fingers. It was a horrible disease. Yet, they started walking, and this was not easy. It wasn't an easy walk, but it was a walk of faith. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? And the thing about it is that they just had something inside of them that caused them to get up and go. So it wasn't easy. It was slow. But they kept on walking. It was a sad sight. Can you imagine? four lepers shuffling along, trying to make it, right? I just got a visual picture of it. But it was a sad sight, but they kept on walking. It was hard, church, but they kept on walking. It was scary. They didn't know if they were going to live or die, but they kept on walking. They felt like giving up. Am I talking to anybody? But they kept on walking. On the way to the enemy's camp, they thought, why in the world did we get up and start walking in the first place? This is hard. At least if we were sitting down, it would be a little easier. They thought, is it worth it? Should we do this? Should we turn back and go to where we were? Come on, how many of you know they were thinking these thoughts? The enemy army could kill us just for showing up at their camp. This is crazy. We should turn back. But something inside of them said, just keep on walking. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Just keep walking. And as they were walking, God was moving behind the scenes. Because what I'm telling you is this. As they were walking, God started moving behind the scenes and caused the enemy army to hear a sound that so frightened them that they left everything. They left everything. They left food on the table. They left their earrings. They left their gold. They left their silver, their horses. Because here's what you got to know. God's going to make the devil pay for what he did to you. The Bible says when the thief is found out, he must restore sevenfold what he stole to you. And there's an old song back in the day that says, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Is there anybody in this church that says, devil, I'm taking back my peace. I'm taking back my healing. I'm taking back my prosperity. I'm taking back my blessing. I'm taking back my family. Me and my household shall be saved. Is anybody ready to get your stuff back? That sounds about like 30 of you. I asked you a question. Is anybody ready to get your stuff back? I'm telling you, this is not a fairy tale. This stuff happens. Stuff happens to where all of a sudden stuff you lost gets restored back to you. And I just need to preach for a while that God is moving while you're walking. I may not be the smartest, but my God is moving while I'm walking. I may be discouraged, but I'm going to keep on walking. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For my God is my rod, he is my staff, and he comforts me. Hallelujah. He restores my soul. Yeah, and the Bible says he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Don't be nervous if there's enemies all around you, because God will prepare a table right in the middle of your enemies. Oh, you used to be addicted. I'll prepare a table right in the presence of your enemies, and then you can go set other people free, because there's power when Christians keep on walking. I got blood on my face, but I'm going to keep on walking. I don't know where the answer's coming from, but I'm going to keep on walking. The Bible says Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, and they communed in the garden, and I came to tell you, your fellowship with God is not broken. Your fellowship with God is restored. You can walk with God in the you can walk with God on your job. You can walk with God in your shower. You can walk with God everywhere that you go. But the good news is the devil can't keep you from walking. You just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other foot. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And here we go. I feel a shout coming on. The Bible says they told the people of God, walk around the city of Jericho. Walk around the city of Jericho. And don't stop walking for 7 days. Just keep on walking. Has anybody ever felt like giving up? Anybody ever felt like throwing in the towel? But there was something in you that says, baby, don't give up right now. Just keep on walking. Because I prophesy, there's some walls about to come tumbling down. On the seventh day, they were walking, and all of a sudden, they lifted their voice in a shout of God, shout of praise to God, and the walls came tumbling down. I feel the anointing. Depression is about to come down. Addiction is about to come down. Somebody ought to shout, yeah. And it's all because God is moving behind the scenes. The devil wants you to look at the visible realm. God is moving in the invisible realm. That's why it's behind the scenes. You can't see it. And are you here? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. Someone say it out loud. Yeah, put it up there, guys, if you got it. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This life as a Christian is lived by giving praise to a God you can't see for things you can't see. It is living a life of faith in a God you can't see for things you can't see. But if you will do it in faith long enough, you will see the God of the invisible show up, and he will bring invisible things into the visible realm. You don't serve a God who is dead. Come on, man. God's not dead. He's surely alive. I'll sing a cheesy Christian song if I have to. That was bad. I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. It's not cheesy at all. I love it, man. I'll be all up in the cheese whiz with you if it's cheesy. I don't care. I like when my baby boy sings, God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Your God's not dead. He's surely alive. And faith is the arm that reaches up into the invisible realm and brings things into the visible realm. So, of course, the devil wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to keep speaking the word. He doesn't want you to keep believing. He doesn't want you to keep possessing what God has promised you. He doesn't want you to continue to praise God for the answer. He doesn't want you believing. He wants you in doubt. He wants you in fear. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you talking about all that stuff. But you can say, no, 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 devil, I'm not going to talk doubt anymore. I'm not going to talk discouragement anymore. My God is faithful. And what he promised me, he will surely bring to pass. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. I'm not going to give up. Do not grow weary in well-doing. But in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. You have need of endurance. Hallelujah. So that after you that have done the will of God, you may receive the promise of God. Don't give up because God is moving behind the scenes. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hallelujah. All right. So then, there's power if you'll continue to walk by faith, as we see demonstrated by these four men that had leprosy. As they were walking, God was moving behind the scenes. I have found that many times the most powerful moves of God in my life don't come when it feels sensational, but it comes by simply walking every day by faith. Walking every day by faith. I don't feel any different. I don't feel some great anointing. It doesn't feel like I'm on, you know, whatever, top of the world. Everything's perfect. Listen, the good news is we can walk in days of heaven on earth. But even within days of heaven on earth, it may not feel sensational. It's just real, and it's spiritual, and it's the most fulfilling thing that you've ever experienced in your life. But what I'm telling you is that many times the most powerful moves of God in my life come by just simply walking the walk of faith. Some will say, walk it out. You got to walk it out. You've got to believe every day. You got to read your word. You got to communicate, pray with God. You got to worship God each day. And when you're doing these things each day, speaking the word of God over the situations in your life, I'm telling you, as you do it faithfully, you will see the power of God come, because this, many times, God is working behind the scenes. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is a seed. The sower sows the word, so the word of God is a seed. How many of you know you don't put a seed in one day and see a harvest the next day? But a seed must be planted, and then it must be watered and cultivated. But then listen, you plant one kernel, but you get a harvest of many ears of corn. That's why the devil wants you to quit watering the word. Don't listen to the word at home. Don't read the word at home. Watch TV. Do this. Do the other thing. Because he knows if those jokers keep watering the word, they're going to receive a harvest, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Because when you plant one kernel of corn, you get many ears of corn. Are you hearing me? That if you'll water the word of God in your life each day, the harvest of healing, the harvest of prosperity, the harvest of breakthrough, the harvest of anointing in your life can be monumental. You can be living 5 years from now in the life of your dreams if you will keep walking and know God is moving behind the scenes. Come on, anyone catching what I'm saying this morning? All right, this is my last point. They say I have a minute and 10 seconds, but we'll see what happens. Hallelujah. My last point. Mark 11, 12 through 14. Mark 11, 12 through 14. This is speaking of Jesus. Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something to eat on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Later, they came back and they saw, I think it was 2 days later, a day or two later, they came back by the tree and they said, "Master, the fig tree that you cursed has died from the roots." Now, that shows us, church, words have power. Now, I could preach forever on this, but really it's not so much about preaching it. We must do that, but it's about doing it. We've got to speak the word of God out of our mouth every day. But words have power. But what this also shows us is that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, hear me, nothing happened on the outside. He spoke to the fig tree and walked away. And his disciples looked at him and go, "Jesus, you talking to trees? That was a joke. Obviously not a very good one. Jesus, you okay? You need to eat? I know you fast a lot. You're talking to trees now." Maybe they didn't say it, but they might have been thinking it. You know what I'm saying? Like they see Jesus, "Let no one eat fruit of you forevermore." And the disciples just look at each other. "I don't know, bro. I don't know." It's like, right? They look, "I don't know." But they walked away and nothing happened. Or at least it looked like, come on, somebody. At least it looked like nothing happened. But here's what you got. And here, when I read this, this is what God said to me. The fig tree was not producing. And because it was not producing, Jesus cursed it. Here's what God said to me. He said, "Tell the people this morning, God wants to deal with those unproductive areas of your life. God wants to deal with the unproductive areas of your life." And here's what he's saying. It might look like those unproductive, what are you talking about? Those areas of addiction, those areas of pain, those areas of hurt, right now it might look like nothing's changing in those areas. But if you'll believe it this morning, we're going to speak the word to it, and it's about to die from the root.
Wow.
Hear me. Deep, this is what God said to me. Deep-rooted things that have held you hostage are being destroyed right now by the presence and power of Almighty God. Deep-rooted fear, shame, pain from abuse, doubt stemming from deep disappointment. God is bringing healing and deliverance to those areas this morning, now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if I can have someone come to the keys, I want to pray. To pray over everyone in just a second. Hallelujah. But he's here this morning. His presence is here, and he spoke to me I was studying this for a completely different reason. Obviously, I was studying, he was showing me things for behind the scenes, and this goes right along with it, because many times the reason we're behaving a particular way is because there's things going on behind the scenes that are causing us to behave a certain way. okay? The Lord spoke to me and said there are deep-rooted issues that are the cause of hurt and pain and doubt and shame, and even certain behavioral patterns are there because of the deep roots that the enemy has tried to form in your life. And I believe, by the help of the Holy Spirit, He is going to speak to those roots, and they are going to die. And I'm telling you that the root of shame and pain and doubt and disappointment that are causing the behavioral patterns, I believe, are dying from the root in Jesus' name. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know Him. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand, and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what, I've known God, but I'm far from Him. Some things I need to get right between me and God. He's here today. He loves you today. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to lift your hand, and we're going to pray with you. One, two, three. Lift them up. Thank you. 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 Hallelujah. Anyone else says, yes, that's me. Pray with me. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you that my best, your plan, your purpose for my life is coming to pass. I will follow you. I am devoted to you all the days of my life. My heart is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's rejoice over every person that made that decision. Come on, we can do better. Let's rejoice. Hallelujah. And now I believe healing is going to come to those deep-rooted areas. One more time before we're dismissed, if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, you say, man, Pastor, I know exactly what you're talking about. Those deep-rooted issues, whatever reason, they're there and they've caused shame and they've caused pain or doubt and they've caused me to behave in ways. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but it's just what it's there. And that's me. And you need you want me to pray for you. You want, more than anything, you want God to touch you. I believe His power and His presence is here to do that this morning. On the count of three, that's you. I want you to lift your hand. Lift them up. One, two, three. Lift them up. Hallelujah. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, there's the anointing right there. Thank you, Father, for the anointing that destroys every yoke and removes every burden right now. For the Bible says, every tree not planted by my Father shall be rooted up. Right now, roots of shame and pain from abuse, be rooted up in Jesus' name. Roots of pain and shame and doubt from deep disappointments, be rooted up in Jesus' name. I send the word of God to you, to your soul, to your mind. Psalm 107 says He sent His word and He healed us. So I send the healing word of God into your mind, into your emotions, into your soul, into your body. And I command, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Plead the blood of Jesus over every person. Devil, it gives me great joy to tell you to take your hands off of God's people. I rebuke you and command you to go in Jesus' name. But Father, I give you praise and I give you glory that these precious people, powerful people, will walk free. And from this day forward, it will be different. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for the freedom and the total victory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.